produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I stand accused. There's a list a mile long of all my sins, of everything that I've done wrong. I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me to hide. This is the day I must stand to form my life. My fate was in the judge's hands. But then he turns to me and says, begin to comprehend what kind of grace would take the place for all my sins. I stand in awe, and now that I have been set free, and the tears fell as I look at that cross, 'cause it should have been me. My fate was stretch them out for me and say,
Hello to all of our listeners today. Our broadcast is coming from Utah Valley, where it's a cool, crisp day, and we can see the beautiful, majestic snow-tipped mountains just peeking over Utah Lake. And this is the Deborah Norwood Show with Finding My Way Radio Networks for USA and the World. And I am your host, Deborah Norwood. We will have as our guest speaker today someone very near and dear to me, and that is Chaplain Eric Wells. Chaplain Wells has gotten his master's from the School of Religion at BYU chaplaincy program. He's been a member of the Air Force for about 9 years. He's worked with special needs kids and at-risk youth. He's also worked as a hospice chaplain and is now working on becoming a military chaplain with the Army. We're excited to talk to you today, and our purpose is to provide a teaser of resources, not only to you as a listener, but to all pastors and ministers and chaplains to preach on a very important subject on how we can communicate with God, and that is lament. And we also want you to access a workshop that Eric has written out and designed to teach others how to not only preach on lament, but also write one's own lament. As always, we ask and invite for the Spirit to be present at our broadcast. And what better way could we have invited the Spirit to come in than with the magnificent song that we just heard from our CEO from Finding My Way Radio, Kayla Padgett. Kayla is an award-winning gospel recording artist and singer, musician, linguist, and she has as her object to win one soul at a time by reaching out through a massive array of networks around the world about the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. And so today, with that magnificent invitation to the Spirit, with her beautiful voice, I also ask that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth also be acceptable to God as we speak to Eric on this fabulous subject. Eric, really quickly, I saw in your master's program that you had given some credits to your wife and to even Trebecca and others. I thought maybe you could do a shout out for them before we begin.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, first of all, for having me on this program. It's really a privilege and an honor to be with you today and to speak about this subject that's very, very near and dear to my heart. The first time I actually heard of this concept of lament, other than, you know, simple books in the Bible and, you know, these half references to it, the first time I really studied it was at Tribeca Nazarene University in Nashville. And that was like the very first class I took. The very first class I took there was an overview of lament, and it really blew me away. And without that class, I don't think I'd ever, you know, have thought to study it any more deeply than I have, and to create as much as I can, and, you know, my limited academic study, somewhat of a guide and more like an introduction of resources for not only members of my own particular Christian denomination, but as many Christian denominations as could use it. So that was very, very eye-opening and very, very formative in my study of lament.
And I know that in your entrance of your introduction, you were thanking your members of the committee, which I think you could always mention. And I think you also mentioned your wife, don't you?
Yes. My wife is absolutely critical in every single thing I do. And without her, I don't think I'd be able to do much of anything, let alone a huge project like this. She's my bedrock. For sure. And just a quick shout out to my committee members. And these are professors at Brigham Young University, Lee Harms, Justin Topp, and Mara Perfertzi. all of which were really instrumental in helping me make it into my studies as much as can be. So they were very,
well,
very helpful. Well,
I'll tell you, since we have just like a limited way to introduce this, I do want to give everyone access to your email for anyone who's interested in the facilitator's guide, or maybe even just to talk to you about how to either preach on lament or write their own lament. And that is, the email is at chaplaineriqwells@gmail.com. So we'll get that out of the way right away. Chaplain, C-H-A-P-L-A-I-N, Eric, E-R-I-C, Wells, W-E-L-L-S, at gmail.com. And for those of you who are interested in learning a little bit more about our magnificent worldwide channel and its great impact upon the world, please look at www.findingmywaychannel.com, and you can learn about Kayla and the worldwide outreach that we have. So without further ado, let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be addressing. And I think there is no better way than to introduce this subject with Eric's own words. And this is what he says. What happens when the circumstances of life fail to bring up peace and comfort in our darkest hours of desperation and despair? While we are never truly alone, you know, with God, we're not alone. Prophets all throughout the scripture have gone through the struggle of agony and despair, even Jesus Christ himself. Now, that's really something to ponder. The prophets and the Lord have given us another tool to help us in this time of loss and struggle, and that is the language of lament. Lament is an important and necessary part of a Christian tradition in communicating with God. Now, lament is usually labeled as a synonym for grief or, you know, wailing, but this distinction does not convey the deep meaning and powerful intent of lament. So, Eric, can you tell us briefly, what is lament? What do you consider this communication vehicle, lament?
Lament is essentially honesty before God. Essentially, it is the key component that allows us to have our deepest, darkest emotions we think are possibly improper for God. It's our way to express those openly and honestly. And God does not shun us for being honest with our emotions. He does not put us down for being honest with him. What we need to remember is that God is already perfect. God knows everything in our hearts already. So for us to say something along the lines of like, yeah, I know I'm feeling absolutely in utter despair right now, but I'm going to pretend everything's hunky-dory, I don't think God appreciates that very much. So I really feel like lament is a way to be very, very honest with God and still say the circumstances of my life are not to my choosing. Even so far as to say, God, I know you're there, but I am not seeing your hand in my life right now. Like, where are you, God? I can't see you. My life is in shambles. Help me. And lament is that purpose, is that tool.
I love the way you have brought that out, and I do want to confess something to you. When I first was introduced to this subject matter, I was actually going through a very dark time in my own life, and when I thought about how are we going to introduce lament, I started looking at all the purposes of lament, and lament is a way to communicate with God, and not just about, you know, our own personal grief, but a way to, you know, communicate about social justice and what's happening in the world and how to, you know, claim our cultural rights and how to actually bargain and talk to the Lord. And we see a lot of it in Psalms, and we see it in you know, the Book of Lamentations, which I would love for you to talk a little bit about, like the definition of what you call lamentation. And then I suddenly, you know, thought, well, should I talk about the pandemic? Should I talk about these horrible things that are happening with Gaza and Israel and you know, or should we talk about personal grief? And that's when I realized that, as always, the scriptures can be seen not only to affect the community at large and to be seen to impact the world, you know, at large, but we can always find comfort and strength individually. And so what you're going to teach us today, I think, is how to even write our own lament so that we can be like those people in the Psalms of old. But I have a confession to make. When I think of myself and how hard things are, like my sister died of COVID, I got cancer, my family went through some terrible health problems, all within a 3-year period. And each time that I ever wanted to just wail and complain or rail out to God, I was a little afraid. I was taught the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And I was also taught and shown, like in the Old Testament, it says that if we complain, you know, at one time the Israelites complained and fiery snakes were sent down to, you know, stop them from complaining. Now, I know God did put a snake on the stick to give them relief from the fiery serpents, but I don't think he likes us to complain. So what's the difference between a complaint and a lament?
Thank you so much for that distinction, Deborah. That is a key component. Now, some of the literature says it's okay to complain, quote unquote, to God if you do it in certain ways. I prefer to separate those two terms very distinctly. The idea of complaining is, the way I sum it up, is turning away from God in our times of despair and trouble, and lamenting is turning towards God in our times of despair and trouble. And if you'll permit me, Numbers 11 in the Old Testament provides a wonderful example of the difference between lamenting and complaining, per se. If you'll permit me to just kind of read a couple of scriptures here. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. So if we read in Numbers 11, and I read from the NRSV typically, so that's where this is going to come. Now, starting at verse 1, now the people complained about their hardships in hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of camp. And then the people complained to Moses, and then they say stuff like, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic, but now we've lost our appetite. All we get is this manna. And it describes what manna looks like. And then Moses, and this angers the Lord. The Lord is angry at this because the people are saying like, oh, well, we just need to go back to Egypt. And I think this is a great metaphor for life too. Going back to Egypt, going back to Babylon, whatever kind of like worldly, ungodlike situation we want to bring ourselves back to. And then Moses goes before the Lord. And this is a lament. This is where it changes from complaint to lament, because Moses laments to the Lord. In verse 11, he says, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? Moses talking, why has God brought this trouble on his servant, meaning Moses? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. And Moses being very honest, and some would even say sacrilegious before God. But Moses has a relationship with God. He has peace with the Lord. He can communicate honestly with the Lord, which is what he's doing here. He's not saying, Lord, I'm done with you. I can't take this. He's like, no, take me up to heaven, please. I don't have the resources for this. And how does the Lord respond? The Lord doesn't respond by sending him fiery snakes. He doesn't respond by chastising him. He's like, okay, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of the meeting, and they may stand with you. And I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. Then he tells what the 70 will tell the people, and then Moses. And so the Lord says, like, all right, I will give you the resources for that. I'll give you some
help.
That
is so amazing to me. It reminds me of that. There's a gospel song that says, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and that's from the Psalms, you know, and he heard me.
Yes.
And I think, yes. I think that what I'm learning from you and what has moved me, because as I read through your program, as I've looked through your facilitator's guide for conducting a workshop and writing a lament ourselves, I have wailed. I have bawled over the laments that are in the scriptures. And mm-hmm. I have changed, because when I go through a really hard time, and this is me, I'm not claiming this for everyone else, I my first thought is, what have I done wrong for so many bad things to start happening around me? Why did so-and-so die? Why did this happen? Why? And so I love one, your definition, or the original Hebrew word of lament, which I'd love for you to bring up. And then the second thing is, when you taught me that the Savior himself used lament, I got confused and thought, well, the Savior hasn't sinned for things to happen to him. So I need to understand, you know, this a little bit more. So I'm grateful for you to explain to us, one, the meaning of the word lament and how it's used. I'm glad that you're saying that only those of us who have a relationship with God can actually be that honest to lament. And then secondly, you know, what does it mean that the Savior refers to a lament?
Thanks for bringing that up. That's so true. When, you know, in the ancient Hebrew, now Graham, my pronunciation is not the best. I'm much better at reading Hebrew than speaking it. But the word that translates from Hebrew that eventually came down the line and became lamentations through, you know, like various Greek and Latin translations was ikah. Now, ikah can be translated as alas, or oh, or just kind of like an exclamation of distress. That was the original
kind of like, oh my God, or oh why, is that, would that be, you know, like one of the ways that you can see it, or?
Absolutely. That's, in fact, the Book of Lamentations, depending on what Bible translation you're using, it'll say like, alas, and it'll start like the chapter or the paragraph that way, or the verse that way. That is that ancient word that they translate into Lamentations or lament is ikah. It's just kind of an expression of like, God, hear me. Like when you're trying to get somebody's attention, whether in a divine sense or even in a mortal sense, ikah, look at me, pay attention. You know, this call.
And you can
to God,
see the like, lament. I mean, I was so surprised that lament can not only express the pain of one person, but also the collective pain of many people, which is why it's so good in you know, rising people to social justice and to fight for what's right and to protect their cultural heritages and stuff. I mean, lament has so many powerful, impact. But what about the Savior? Why would the Savior use lament? What lament are we talking about?
So one of the, and there's a few examples of this. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's bleeding from every pore, as Luke teaches us, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Please let this, you know, if there's any other way, Lord, take this, or God, take this cup from me." He even uses a familiar term for Father, Abba, like in a personal sense, like Father, please take this from me, but if not, thy will be done. So that's one of the first times he laments and says, if there's any other way, please let it happen, but I will do thy will. And one of the more famous ones, when he's on the cross, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22, which in Psalms typically back then, this could be the equivalency of him singing a hymn while he's under distress, while he's, you know, being literally tortured to death on the cross, going there willingly. He's can be seen singing a hymn of lament, one of the more famous ones attributed to David.
And I think what's so fascinating of what you're telling me is that Christ isn't saying, oh, I feel lost and God has abandoned me and I'm angry about that. He's actually turning to God and using this messianic psalm of David, because I think for all of us who read Psalm 22, after I read it, I mean, I wept because I realized that David literally foresaw everything that was going to happen to the Savior and wrote it down. Everything from his joints, his bones, his, you know, being pierced, everything.
Yes.
So when Jesus uses Psalm 22, what you're telling us is that unlike people who think he said, oh my God, where art thou? Why have you forsaken me? That God, that Jesus himself is turning away from God. It's the opposite, and that is so overwhelming to me. So tell me a little bit more about how a lament is an example of that kind of a relationship with our Father in heaven.
Absolutely. It takes a relationship to be really honest with somebody. Like, you have close friends that you have, and they feel like they can be really brutally honest with you. Like, Deborah, I got to tell you the truth right now. You can't just have a stranger walk up on the street and talk to you like that. Not to say that anybody can't lament before God, but to really get super deep into it, like be really honest with your own feelings before God. Obviously, God is perfect, but ourselves are not. And we can say like, hey, like, I know you're perfect. As one professor that study said, it's, you know, it's learning to protest and trust at the same time. And you need that relationship to be super honest with God. And the deeper the relationship, the more honest you can be with God. So it's an indication of faith, not a lack thereof.
So you can actually show anger. Can you be angry at God? I mean, I went to a women's conference and I was freaked out. It was kind of cool. And I think you also told me there's a fantastic book by Abby Norman that says you can talk to God like that, The Surprising Power of Lament. And, you know, they said, hey, you know, if you're angry, you can tell God that you're angry. He can handle it.
Absolutely. God knows our hearts. God knows our emotions. He doesn't shy away from us, as long as we don't shy away from him. His emotions are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Our emotions are imperfect, but we can still present them to him. He knows we're angry. He knows we're sad. He knows all these emotions we're going through. So we don't have to pretend we're feeling something different when we present ourselves to God.
And I think something that really moved me about the Savior saying those words, you know, we made it sound like he's just singing a hymn, but he's not. He's in pain. He's suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
He's really hurting.
Absolutely.
And so one thing that it made me understand is that the Savior knows. He really knows what this is that we're going through. We have an example of a pure and perfect being. He's not being punished for sin like I might think, oh, well, this is all happening to me because I've just been, you know, I'm imperfect, I'm not this, I'm not that, and I get involved in a lot of self-blame. But then when I see the Savior, a perfect being, and he's able to cry out to the Lord and also feel this sorrow, I suddenly realize I have a elder brother, I have a Savior that and a Father in heaven that really, truly does understand me. In that sense, I think it's interesting, and I would like you to just go ahead, because you told us about Moses and how God responds to some of these laments, and I think our listeners would be comforted in finding out that, yeah, you can be angry, you can give out, just pour your heart out to the Lord, and you can try to start bargaining with him and sometimes he responds and sometimes we don't. In the Book of Lamentations, we don't see a response, but could you tell us a little bit about how God might respond to our laments if we were just only more honest with him about our feelings and about what we wished he would do for us?
Sure, absolutely. God can respond to our laments in a variety of ways. And I'm glad you brought up this concept of, quote-unquote, you know, bargaining with God. All throughout the scriptures, a lot of people says, you know, a lot of people say, like, you cannot change the mind of God. And in one theological sense, that is true. But God allows us to move his heart. Like, we see examples of Abraham. God has already made provisions for this, but we see with Abraham, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, oh, well, God, if you can save, you know, five, you know, like, or 10 people, or, you know, or he goes down from larger numbers to smaller, just save this many, you know, this many righteous people, save the city. And depending on, you know, the will of God, we can say, oh, yes, well, okay, Abraham, yeah, we'll do it this way. Or otherwise, like Moses, like, hey, help me with the people, and God provides provisions for that. So I think when we are honest with our emotions, God can give us practical answers sometimes. He really can. He can give us practical help, practical answers. But I think the absolute most important thing that God does when we lament, how he answers us, is he answers by sitting with us on the mourner's bench. Mourn with those that mourn. Comfort those that stand in need of comfort. It's so important that we understand that just because God doesn't take away our pain, he gives us peace through that pain if we turn to him. He is our Father. He is our God. And I think it's also really important to mention, too, that in Christ, we worship a scarred God on purpose. Like, God has left his scars, you know, Christ has left his scars on his body, both emotionally and physically, as a witness that he knows the pain that we go through each and every single day in a very, very personal and intimate way. And I think that's
so important.
And I guess
he knows the large, and, you know, I mean, you've mentioned that mourn with those who mourn, and I think it's important for us to mention, well, how should we act when others are just going ballistic, when the mother loses her child, or a child loses a parent, or when war comes and devastation and torture, or, you know, earthquakes,
yes,
and calamities hit, and people are wailing their hearts out and wondering, where is God through all of this? You know, how should we act when others start showing us how angry they are and how lost and lonely they feel about what's happening to them?
I think there's a few cautionary notes about that, like a few do nots to start with. Like, don't, whatever it is, even if we don't understand it, I mean, obviously we can understand somebody's going through horrific pain, you know, mother losing a child, you know, the calamities of war, et cetera. But what we shouldn't really do is minimize it. God doesn't minimize our own suffering. So, for instance, we shouldn't be say things like, well, don't worry because I'm sure somebody has it worse. Or, well, if you put it into perspective, well, it's really not that bad. Or don't worry, I'm sure your child's in heaven now. All of these things may be true, but it's not going to help that person in their distress. In fact, it can make it worse sometimes, because to them, that is their whole world. Obviously, God has the full perspective. So what we need to do is just be with them. Join them in their prayers. Hey, can I say a prayer of lament with you right now? Can I sit down and lament with you? Let's lament to God together. Let's ask him, you know, why this has happened. Let us trust in God, but also say, God, we don't see your hand right now. We need to see your hand if we're going to make it through this. We need to know that you're there for us. And to say things like that, I think, gives power, gives agency to the person who is suffering, gives them a way to communicate where communication has been so difficult or impossible up to that point.
Well, I think what's so amazing about what you're telling us is that, you know, we're at an age right now, a time and age where young people are leaving the church, you know, official, you know, institutionalized religion in droves, and people are kind of falling away because they feel like there's so many unanswered questions. There's so many things that, you know, we're not dealing with. And I think we also have a very powerful testimony of praise, you know, of worship through praise, worship through adore, adoration of our, and we forget that in Ecclesiastics, we're told that there's a time and place for everything. And actually anger and showing your real raw emotions to God is also apparently a form of worship. Because we could even remind our Father in heaven of the covenants that we've made. You know, we can say, you know, I covenanted with you to pay my tithing. Why am I out of a job? Why is this happening? You know, we can remind the Lord of our covenants because I thought at first only the prophets could do that. But you're saying through your workshop for a facilitator's guide for not only priests, you know, ministers, pastors, chaplains, but you're teaching those men of God and women of God how to actually do a workshop and conduct a lament workshop. And you've got some pros and cons and, you know, significant pointers on how to conduct this workshop. But there are ways in which we can approach God honestly. And so I would like to kind of hear from you. How should someone preach lament? If, you know, this is now, right now, at this moment, for this particular sentence or two directed to those pastors, ministers, and people of God, and even, you know, counselors who are working with people with PTSD even, you know, how do we do this? How should it be conducted?
So from a pastoral sense, like I said, there's a couple ways to approach that. In the sense of preaching, I do have some, you know, I did discuss some preaching, you know, pointers about that. I can kind of like briefly go over. And honestly, in preaching, sometimes we get caught up in these like preaching forms, and, you know, there's a myriad of ways to, you know, give a sermon, you know, these very proper forms kind of thing. Lament, like in the scriptures, sometimes breaks down a little bit, that format. It kind of just becomes a little bit more raw, kind of how even the laments in the scriptures kind of like bounce back forth, almost borderline stream of consciousness kind of thing. And using very direct language, don't kind of like use flowery language or beat around the bush. I know, like, sometimes, you know, we're crafting these narratives or crafting these little things. When we preach laments, like our raw emotions, we need to be a little bit more honest and direct, speaking simply, clearly, naming our feelings and emotions and being honest, you know, if we have doubts, because God doesn't fault us for our doubts. He faults us for turning away from him in our doubts. We bring our doubts to God. Hey, I'm doubting this. Like you said, people are leaving the church. So many, you know, all the churches across the world are really losing membership at this point. How do we, you know, like, bring our doubts before God? Don't think this is a lack of faith because we say to God, hey, I'm losing faith. I'm doubting this. We can be honest with that. We can be direct with that. And I think that's one of the most key points. As for crafting,
and I think it's interesting that you've also mentioned that you don't preach lament only when bad times happen, although lament right now is having a resurgence. So from what I understand, it's the 20th century. After 9/11 in the United States, we have more pastors and ministers talking about lament because, you know, the 9/11 triggers. We've got all these social issues that are coming up, the polarization of our country, the death of people being, you know, killed because they're a member of a minority group, people who died of COVID because they were, you know, of a different race and weren't treated as well as others who might have been treated differently. I mean, these are all issues that are now allowing us to look at lament a little bit more. But you're telling us in your workshop, you don't just talk about lament, and you don't lament only when really bad things happen. It's a great opportunity to do so. And I'm reminded of when there was a terrible shooting and we sang Amazing Grace, our president sang Amazing Grace as a kind of a lament as well, in my opinion. But, you know, you're saying don't just do it when things are going bad. Prepare people.
Absolutely. That's another really great key point. I'm glad you brought up there as well. Because if you only do lament, like, when times are horrible and troubled, when we're already kind of like in our minds and we're not thinking clearly, we're not going to be trained to do it. So it's going to feel really jarring, really unusual for us to do it. So when we go through our preaching calendars or whatever, you know, we're speaking on, it's okay not to skip over those lament sections in the scriptures, even when we're doing okay. Or it's okay to say, hey, we're going to talk about lament today. I know there's not really big problems in the church right now, or, you know, our local church here, but you know what, we're going to talk about it. So when bad times do hit, like you said, people are kind of like trained to feel this way, to go through these things.
Thank you. That's so important to me. And I also was wondering about, this, because my radio show always kind of talks about God's mind and how our human brain, you know, we think we know how to handle things. We're learning so many things through science and neuroscience and positive psychology. Mm-hmm. And I'm a resilience trainer and a brain health coach. And mm-hmm. so you think, wow, we're learning how to deal with things, especially trauma, you know. And yet here we have these scriptures, and it looks like he actually gave us a formula how to process trauma and promote faith and hope and healing. So how do we learn to author our own lament?
So there's another, like I said, there's as many ways to do this as there are, you know, people in the world, kind of thing. Everyone does it their kind of own way. However, typically we see there's a few specific elements of lament. And what I like to do when I conduct a workshop for helping people craft their own lament is I take a psalm, maybe a short psalm, like Psalm 13, and I kind of like highlight the different areas of it. Like, oh, here's the portion of the psalm where they turn to God. Here's the portion of the psalm where the protest is happening. Here's asking boldly for help. And here's the part where we're trusting God, like choosing to trust God. And I have them kind of look at that lament and say, like, oh, okay, here's a psalm from the scriptures. Here's the different elements of that lament. Then they can either do it a couple of different ways. Some people who are just super crafty and artistic, and they'll, you know, awesome wordsmiths, well, I'm just going to write my own right now and blam off of nothing. Put that one little example. Awesome. That's the rarity.
Yes.
Most people, what I like to do is grab another psalm of lament. And I have like, oh, I have like guides, like, oh, here's a list.
Yes,
of,
and
know,
I do want to mention that your facilitator's guide is going to give us a complete list of all of the laments. We'll be able to look, we'll be able to personalize these, we'll be able to read these psalms, and then we'll be able to put all these elements of one, you know, being honest with our emotions, because we have to name our emotions. And then we also will have an opportunity to see how we're not turning away from God. We're going to turn to him, even if we have to remind him of our covenants with him. And then and we can be raw and honest. And then I think that all we can do at this stage of the game in this beautiful radio show is to wrap up what we can about lament with some final thoughts, and invite our listeners for part two, where we will talk more about, one, how lament can be used for social justice. You know, when there's a shooting, when there's an improper thing happening, when there's a war, when there's a calamity. And then secondly, how can we learn to trust God a little bit more with our real raw emotions. And we can do that hopefully in part two and anything else that people might need. Once again, for those of you who are interested in how to write your own lament or how to conduct a workshop, I'm going to refer you to chaplainericiwells@gmail.com. And thank you, Eric. I want to thank you for this. And I wondered, you gave me this prayer by Abby Norman, and I'm going to end with that and then give you just one last comment to make on the power of lament. But Abby Norman says, I know this can be scary, speaking of lament. Not all of us have had a lot of practice in talking back to God. And as you embark in this exercise, I pray, it's making me cry, that you will land in the arms of a God who is good and holy and big enough to handle every of your sorrow and your rage. I pray that you will not be afraid of the strength of your own sorrows. I pray that you will land in strong arms. So, Eric, I'm giving you the last word, 1 minute to wrap this up, and thank you, listeners, for being with us on Finding My Way.
I would just like to thank you for the opportunity to kind of talk about this subject that isn't talked about very often, and thank you so much for having me on the radio show program, and I'd love to talk. I could talk for days about this, so I apologize if I ramble a little bit, but absolutely, I think that's a great way to end with that kind of quote by Abby Norman. And once again, thanks for the opportunity to be here.
It's been a pleasure to have you, and we're looking forward to another segment. Goodbye to all of our readers, and remember, our Father in heaven knows our needs, and he understands us very well. Remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.